God is caring for His people. He's left us His Word that we might know His will for our good and for His glory. Verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And verse 17, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Amen. Father, we thank You for another day that we can be together. You have proven to us why You are worthy to be worshipped, why You are worthy to be praised. You've cared for us and provided for us and protected us. And Lord, we're here today only because You have led the way. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank You today that You are the Good Shepherd. And we can say with David that the Lord is my shepherd. Thank You for faith to believe that You're here with us. Thank You for the evidence that the Holy Spirit is active among us. And Father, we're calling upon You now because we need Your help. We come to Your Word with our hearts laid open before You, the Word of God laid open before our eyes, and we ask You to meet us now in the Spirit, that we would be all the better for having assembled here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For the next few minutes, I'd like for us to consider this subject: thankful for unity in Christ. We thank God for so many things, but I'd like to see if God won't help us to see why we ought to be thankful for unity. Because it's so easy to take it for granted, just as it's easy to take food for granted or other basic necessities until you begin to feel threatened. And it's a tragedy that we would have to wait until unity is threatened to thank God for it. We've gathered here today specifically as a time of worship and giving thanks to God. But you know, whenever we're giving thanks, or whenever we're thankful, there must be a reason, right? There's always a reason for being thankful. There's always a reason for giving thanks. And the Christian doesn't have to think very hard. God's faithfulness, right? God's mercies, His compassion, God's provision. I know that at an occasion like this, we all candidly cannot and do not speak of God's provisions for us. But every one of us knows that there's a reason for everyone here to be thankful, right? Just considering God's provisions alone, not to mention all of these other graces. And the thing about it is that God's goodness has been displayed to us personally. Your thanksgiving doesn't have to rest on things that He's done for me. Even though you're thankful for what He's done for me, just as I'm thankful for what He's done for you. But He's done enough for you to be thankful. So there's always reason for thanksgiving. Now, our text is extracted from a larger context addressing the new life and the character of the Christian. So I want you to think with me for a few minutes. We're talking about a new life, which meant that for every Christian we had an old life. Right? And we must always remember that that God has called us from that old life to a new life. God has put new life in us, therefore that new life must be displayed out from us. All right? New life has been put in us, so new life must work its way out. What I mean by that is that for the Christian, we must be reminded at times that we have new thoughts. We have new desires, new passions, new ways of relating to each other, new practices. As a matter of fact, look at verse 12 through 14. It talks about these new ways that we as Christians have for relating to each other. Put on then as God's chosen one. Now you notice that the Bible starts speaking of our character like clothing, right? And you put on clothing because it can be seen. So what God is saying that is that I put new life in you, but in order for others to know there's new life in you, it must be displayed. It must be seen like your clothing. So he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassion, put on kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. You notice this? Do you see how real the Bible is? God knows that even His people are going to have complaints with each other. That's reality. And you are lying to say that you don't ever have a complaint. That you're lying against God to say that you don't ever have a complaint against someone. So God meets us where we are, where we live. And He says, because you're going to have complaints with each other, you've got to learn to forgive one another. You see, isn't that real? That's real. And I know I wrestle with this just as much as you do. There are times, even in our family life, when the friction is so thick, you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. But then you have to come back to text like this. When you're so frustrated, so upset, so angry because something you know is wrong, God says you've got to learn to what? Forgive. How many times have we tried to wait it out? And it just doesn't work, does it? You don't fix a thing by trying to wait it out. You've got to do it. This is the new way. That's the way you used to be. I can be mad with you. I can outwait you. That was our old way. I can not speak to you longer than you can not speak to me. Now that's real. That was the old, and unfortunately some of us still live that old way, and it ain't working, is it? So you see, he says you got these new ways that we must learn to relate. And the reason that we are to forgive one another, you see that in verse 13, because it's as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Wouldn't it be awful if God dealt with us that way? Amen. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So, you know, I want you to think honestly. You now, because I had to think about this myself the past day or so. Do I honestly relate to to other believers that way. Not just a select few. That's the new way. And if we are not relating the new way, you're letting the old way trip you up. That's creating disunity and a lack of harmony. And I hope to convince you, ungratefulness. Your attitude of thankfulness affects the way you relate to other people. Think about it. A thankful person is a forgiving person. Because I'm thankful that God has forgiven me. How can I hold this over you when I consider what I have done to God? Right? That's the perspective we have to take. You see how thankfulness affects unity? Thankfulness is a fundamental aspect of our new life in Christ. Thankfulness is essential for unity in our homes and in our church. And I believe that a fundamental problem is we're working so hard for unity in the church when there's so much disunity in the home. What we're seeing is the outgrowth of disunity in the home working its way, right, into the church. And all of us can relate to that. I'm just going to talk candid for a few minutes, all right? How often do you recall on the way to church something less than edifying breaks out? Anybody had that experience? Be honest. Now, if you don't resolve that before you get to church, and we've had occasions where we didn't, you bring that into church. If it wasn't resolved biblically, then you're trying to come in church and create relationships that are already fractured at home. That you're not willing to resolve the right way at home, then how in the world do you think you're going to be willing to resolve it the right way at church? I know you're thinking, well, Willie, Brother Willie, this is a Thanksgiving method? Yeah, yeah, it is. Because that's what I'm trying to show you. That thankful people are a unified people. And you may be sitting here, you may think you're thankful right now and got a major complaint about stuff at home. That's an oxymoron. Thankfulness or giving thanks is mentioned in every verse I read to you. And the heart is mentioned twice. Now, you know as well as I do, when God does not waste words. When you see this kind of, and as I was working through this thing, I just thought, Lord, this is something you're saying something here. Every one of these verses is dripping with thankfulness or giving thanks, and then you continually say it involves the heart. Your heart must be engaged for you to be thankful. In other words, your thoughts, your will and your emotions must be engaged. You see, giving thanks is not just something you do with your lips. If it hasn't come from the heart, then it's just words. Right? Jesus said, you praise me, you worship me with your lips, but your what? Heart is far from me. That's unacceptable praise. You may be thanking God with your lips and your heart may be ungrateful. That is unacceptable thanksgiving. In other words, for those of you who didn't want to be here, you cannot be indifferent and thankful. So, I want to talk to you about three quick things that the Christian ought to be thankful for, all right? And then we'll go home. Number one, we ought to be thankful for the peace of Christ. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, right away, we are told to let the peace of Christ rule, which means we must not let anger rule in our heart. We must not let wrath and vengeance, we must not let envy and unforgiveness, we must not let these things rule. You see, where is it? Verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. You can't let those things rule. Because those things can't rule and peace rule too. You must not let, I want to take it further. My brother, my sister, those of you who take worry to be so insignificant, you must not let worry rule in your heart. Worry is a sin. Amen. You cannot be worried and thankful. You are deceiving yourself to say that with your lips and know that you got worry dominating your heart. Neither can you hold on to unforgiveness and let it rule, or any other sin. What I'm saying is that we must submit to the will of Christ to know the peace of Christ. Now, I know that rolls off with our lips, not my will, but thine be done. But that's peace. Amen. Then it says, we were called in one body. Every believer, and I don't know if I'm going to explain this right, but I'm going to try. Okay, so I'm going to stay close to my notes. You try to track me. Every believer is joined to Christ. All right? So, if every Christian in here, and I'm not saying every individual because I know every individual isn't a Christian, but every believer in here is joined to Christ. That means that every believer in here is a vital part of the body of Christ. Every believer. Agreed? Now, track me as we try to think this through. Every believer is joined to Christ. We've been grafted into Him. Regardless of what part of the vine I'm grafted into, I am now a vital, living, active part of the body of Christ. So, to be unreconciled with a member of the body, all attached, is to be unreconciled with your own body. Are you tracking that? That doesn't make sense, does it? So why do we do it? Because our thoughts, will, and emotions are not engaged, and we're not being ruled by the peace of Christ. We're being ruled more about the way we feel at the time. You see why the Scripture would say, you've got to let the peace of Christ rule you. As Brother Peter loves to say, we've got to learn to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And then let me put my own spin on this. And not trust the way you feel. Amen. Not lean to the way you feel. To be unreconciled with a believer is to be unreconciled with your own body. And that means you are what? Unhealthy. That can happen in our homes. That can happen in our church. If it's happening in your home, it's being brought into the church. If you are at peace with Christ, what could possibly keep you from being at peace with another member of His body? If you are thankful for the peace of Christ, then you long to enjoy uninterrupted peace and fellowship with Christ. Correct? Yes or no? If you long for the peace of Christ, then you long to enjoy this uninterrupted peace and fellowship with Christ and with His body. You can't say, I love Christ and His peace, just me and Jesus, when He said, I've called you into a body. And we're talking about Thanksgiving. And that's what I'm saying to you, this is a thankful attitude. I'm thankful to be joined to Christ. I'm thankful you are joined to Christ. I'm thankful we are joined to each other. And I'm doing more than saying it with my lips. I'm proving it with my new character. Now I'm talking about real Thanksgiving. You think about it. You go home today and your family members say, I am so thankful to be in this family. They go and lock up in their room. What's the problem with that? I know some of you young people think, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, yeah, it is. think about this. If you watch the movies, many of the Eastern homes are not designed the way our homes are. We could not imagine living in a house without a door and a lock on every room. Right? Amen. But in the East, that's not the way it is. You in the family, everybody knows. Now, you may have to put up a little curtain. but everybody knows you're in the house. In my father's house, we grew up loving to quote King James. Woo! In my father's house, men and mansions. Every Christian thinks they're going to heaven, they're going to have their big mansion. This is my mansion. That's not what that verse says. All right. The father has the mansion. All right. And the literal translation is, in my father's mansion, there's many rooms. Does that make a difference? Amen. Yeah, because you can't take America to heaven. No. That ain't this ain't an American heaven here. As a matter of fact, when God renews the earth, it won't be an American earth. The King is coming to set up His throne.
The earth will be run the way the king says. There won't be no problem with poverty, and you won't have no Donald Trumps on the new earth. Well, I mean, everybody would be Donald Trump in that sense. That we'll all be rich in Christ. You know what I mean? All right, that was much longer, but you get that. So, thankful for the peace of Christ. Number two, we're to be thankful for the Word of Christ. You see that in verse 16? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with all, there it is, thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in us. The word dwell, it literally means take up residence. Okay? Let the Word of Christ take up residence in your heart. As a matter of fact, it means to be at home. In other words, the Word of God, you say, come on into my heart, my house, sit down. Make yourself at home. That's what I want. I want the Word of God to be at home in me. The Word of God is not a stranger to me. I don't want the Word of God to feel uncomfortable in me. So I make sure I don't keep things in me that would make the Word of God uncomfortable. Amen. Now I know I'm being simplistic, but you understand. A holy God and His holy Word means that I want to clean what? What do you do when guests come? You clean the house. Well, if God's going to be there all the time, you need to what? Keep the house clean all the time. You can't handle your heart like you do your house. You know, you get around to it once a week. You know, you can't live like that. Some of you teenagers need to remember that. You can't deal with God like you do your room. Well, some of us adults need to remember that too. The Word of God needs to be at home. Here's what I'm saying. If you are thankful for the Word of God, and if you want it to be at home in you, if you're thankful for it, you'll read it. Yes? If you're thankful for the Word of God, you will study it. If you are thankful for the Word of God, you will meditate on it. In other words, I didn't just get my little 10 or 15 minutes in this morning. I took some time. How many of you, I mean, if you're honest, there are times that you can read through sections of Scripture and it didn't grip you. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't anything that was just a strong impression that came, but there are other times where just a few words or a few verses stop you in your tracks. I was planning to read, you ever had that? I was going to read a chapter or two, but I stopped verse 3. You ever had that? That's what I'm talking about. I'm thankful for the Word of God, and I'm not going to treat this like a jack-in-the-box. This is not the drive-through window at McDonald's. I'm going to feast here. But I want to say one other thing. If you're thankful for the Word of God, not only will you read it, study it, and meditate on it, you'll memorize it because you want to have it with you always. Now, some of you may have never thought about this. How can you have the Word of God with you if you don't memorize it? God did not say, I will put my Word in the book, and that's it. All right. I'll put my Word where? in your heart. Now, some of you may have never taken scripture memory seriously. I want to encourage you as of today. If you are thankful, you need to start memorizing scripture. You need to prove that you're thankful for the Word of God. Psalm 119:11. Thy word, O God, have I treasured, have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. What are you going to draw on in times of trouble? What are you going to draw on when you're tempted out on the athletic field, children? What are you going to draw on when somebody cusses you up and down? What are you going to draw on when you got injustice on your job? Right? What are you going to draw on when you're out on the mall and some injustice happened? You see? You can't go thumbing through the Bible and trying to open the Bible to see where it falls. No. The Word of God needs to be in your heart. If you're thankful for it, you want to carry the Word of God wherever you go, right? You want to have it available to you wherever you are. But then it says that we need to let the Word of God teach and admonish us. We must submit to the Word of Christ as it is taught in order to have unity in the body. We have a lot of teaching and preaching here. But how much submission? Not to the teacher and the preacher. I didn't say that. Well, actually, this text does teach that too. And here's what I'm saying. We need to be willing to submit to the teaching brought to us, regardless of who the speaker is.
Amen.
If God has used a child to, because teaching implies that we need instruction, right? Admonishing means that we need to be warned about disobedience. And if God uses a young person or whatever person it is, you need to be humble enough to submit to the truth. Teaching and admonishing what? One another. And not be so concerned about who the agent was. It's like this. You're on the bed in a hospital. You do not dictate who the nurse is for that time period, do you? But when that person on the medical staff comes, you need to submit in order to be helped. That's all that we're saying here. Submit to the Word of God, regardless of who the servant is. Christ is the head of the body, and He has spoken to us through the Scriptures. If you are thankful to have and to know the Word of Christ, then you will gladly obey what He says. Gladly obey what He says. This leads to unity. Third and last thing. Thankful for the peace of Christ. Thankful for the Word of Christ. Lastly, thankful for the name of Christ. Verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do everything under the authority of Christ. That's what it means to do something in the name. You know when you've seen movies where somebody comes to at a scene, to a situation, says, I'm here in the name of the court. I'm here in the name of this country. What does that mean? They've got all the authority of that country or that organization behind them. So as an ambassador, that's the word I'm looking for.
So you have all the authority. So you need to live your life every day as you are under the authority of Christ. Correct? I've been bought with a price. I am no longer what? My own. Do everything under the authority of Christ. What I mean by that is you need to remember who He is and what He wants before you act. If you're under His authority, and every Christian is, remember who Christ is and what He wants before you act. When you pray, remember who Christ is and what He wants. Not just what you want. Not just how you feel. When you speak, remember who Christ is and what He wants before you let somebody have a piece of your mind. Then when you act and react, remember who Christ is and what He wants. In your home, when you think nobody's listening, when the rest of the church isn't around, remember somebody is listening. Someone is watching. And it's His authority that He's placed into that home. If you're in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God extends to your home. Amen? The King should rule in your home just like He rules everywhere else. So in your home, remember who He is and what He says. When you feel like you could just explode, remember who He is and what He says. How to handle a situation. If I'm thankful for God's word, if I love it, if I've stored it in my heart, I need to resort to that treasury chest before I speak. What would God have me to do in this situation? On your job, in your school, in church, recreation time, remember who God is and what He says. On vacation, when you're in your car, when you're on the mall, when you're in the grocery store, when you're at the gym, on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays and Saturdays, remember who God is and what He wants. And then it says, in everything, give thanks. Doesn't that roll off your lips? In everything, give thanks. But do we do that? In everything. Give thanks because you know God is in control of everything. Give thanks because you know God is working all things together for good. Thanks for the name of Christ because He has all authority to perform anything. Jesus rose from the dead and says, all exousia, all authority has been given unto me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. It's all in Christ. He's the source of authority. He's the source of everything necessary to accomplish good for you. He's working it for your good. So in everything, give thanks. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is impossible with Him. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. Give thanks when you do not understand what God is doing because He knows the end from the beginning. Give thanks in everything because God knows what He's doing. Give thanks because He's got a purpose. He's got a goal. He's moving you toward it. So don't stop and try to figure it out. Just give Him thanks. So, Lord, I'll go with you. You know, we like to sing that. Wherever you lead, I will follow. But don't start digressing because it gets difficult in everything. You see, a thankful person is an humble person. That's what I'm trying to say to you. A thankful person is not a person arguing all the time with God. A thankful person submits. Give thanks right now in your present situation. How many of you are willing to do that? Do I know virtually everyone, every Christian in here, you've got some hard places right now in your life. Are you willing to give thanks now before you see the end of it? Regardless of what took place this morning, are you willing to give thanks? Regardless of what took place yesterday, are you willing to give thanks? Regardless of what disaster took place last week, are you willing to give thanks? Give thanks from your heart, because God is working out His plan for your good. This leads to unity in the body of Christ. I want you to listen to this. That's good, Phil. Ungratefulness leads to a lack of peace with Christ in your heart. Ungratefulness chokes out the word of Christ from your heart and dishonors the name of Christ in your heart. That's one of the reasons that ungratefulness is such an awful sin. And God responds in such strong ways of chastisement and punishment and even judgment against ungratefulness. Only the Christian has peace with Christ. We're no longer at war with Him. Aren't you thankful for that? And we should no longer be at war with each other. Only the Christian has the Word of Christ at home in our hearts. Sin can no longer live comfortably and permanently in your heart. Aren't you thankful for that? Only the Christian can do everything in the name of Christ. Sin no longer has dominion and authority over us. Only the Christian has been joined to Christ eternally and to every believer in one body. We are in this body forever. Only the Christian can truly be thankful and give God thanks for these special graces and blessings, because God has reserved this specifically for us. We are one with Christ and one with each other. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. I got another question. What can separate us from loving each other? Careful. The answer should be nothing. You see how easy it is to answer nothing can separate us from the love of Christ? But it's, we don't, I want you to be very careful before you race to the other one. Because evidence speaks louder than words. My challenge for every Christian at this Thanksgiving worship service is this. Can you honestly pray, "Lord, I thank You that nothing stands between me and peace with Christ, between me and peace with my brother or sister in Christ." Can you honestly pray, "Lord, I thank You that Your word is at home in my heart, and I gladly obey what You say." And finally, can you honestly pray, "Lord, I thank You that I live my life daily under Your authority, remembering who You are and what You want." Father, we need You on this day of Thanksgiving to search our hearts and to reveal anything that's keeping us from being thankful. To search our hearts and make sure that our mouths agree with our hearts. To search our hearts and make sure that we do not hold an obstacle or stumbling block that would keep us from living in sweet harmony and unity with each other. Search our hearts that we might see if the peace of Christ really rules, or if unforgiveness or anger or envy, a covetousness or jealousy or any other sin is dominant. Search our hearts so that on this Thanksgiving day we can be thankful for unity in Christ. We love You. We praise You. We thank You for the hope that we have that You've begun this work in us and You will perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.